Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Somebody repeat after me, the only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it according to this word. This word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Clap your hands as you take your seats. Chapter 2 is a powerful passage that we have been working through. And I just want verse 16 back on the screen just for a moment, because I've been bothered by this verse, a month or so. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels. That part alone, Heidi, bothered me. But it turns around and he says, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham. I just want somebody to say, as we go into the word today, I'm not turning that down. Oh, come on. Just somebody say that again. I'm not turning that down. Can y'all give me a few minutes today? Last week, we spoke to mothers, and I encouraged not only the ladies, but all that received the word. I encourage you to keep showing up, because there is an outpouring. Just keep showing up. Consistency will oftentimes be stronger than skill. Oh boy. Elder Joni, sometimes you can have people who have phenomenal skills but poor consistency. And what will happen is the consistent one will thrive, while the skillful one does not move forward, oftentimes because they think that their skill is enough. Some of us stop showing up because we got weary in well-doing. Amen. But I say to you, keep showing up. Keep showing up. Somebody just say, keep showing up. Today, I want to press even more into the outpouring. This is, people of God, a pivotal Sunday on the Christian calendar. I look out among you, and it is sad that the church has come to a place where you got Mother's Day, let's celebrate the mamas. Father's Day's coming in a minute. Amen. I was teasing my family yesterday. They got light up socks and plastic trophies. Mother's Day, they like, get her diamonds. Father's Day, it's like, get him this tie that just flashes, dad. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Right. And we overlook Pentecost Sunday. Sadly, Pentecost, 50 days after, Penta meaning 50. It celebrates the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know where I would be without the Holy Ghost. Listen, I can get stuck there, but I got something I need to say. I don't know where I would be. And maybe y'all know where you would be. I don't know where I would be without the Holy Ghost. Certainly it wouldn't be good. I can assure you of that. So as we come to this Pentecost Sunday, and the saints is already on social medias debating on which day is the right day. Bless them, Jesus. Bless them. These are the same saints who be like, I'm celebrating my birthday all month. Same ones. This is my birthday month. I'm about to celebrate all month. No, it's not your day. We're not letting you celebrate any day but the day. And if we really want to be technical about it, you got to celebrate at the time. No, only the time. Only the time. What time were you born? Oh, birthday over. We're done. We're going to say happy birthday at that time. Don't, no, you don't get the whole day because it's not specific enough. We're not going to say happy birthday to you on the day, only the time. See how stupid that sounds? I don't care. Lord have mercy. We celebrating the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, we should celebrate him again next week. And the week after that. It's like we celebrate Jesus every day. Amen. So as we come to this Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, I know many of my clergy peers are running to familiar passages about the Holy Ghost. God bless them. However, this verse right here, he don't give help to angels, but he gives help. Lord, anybody need some help? He gives help to the descendants of Abraham. But there are times where you know you got help, but you're weary in showing up. I thought we was going to be honest. Lord, okay, you said you would help me, but I got some show-up weariness. Let me give you three quick points at the onset of this message. Sometimes showing up feels powerless. Sometimes showing up, Elder Leela, feels powerless. Why? Because when I show up for someone that ain't showing up for me, I'm the one that feels stupid and vulnerable. I'm showing up, you ain't showing up for me, and I don't like the way that feels because you took my power away because I keep showing up and you ain't showing up. And even when I showed up, you looked at me crazy for showing up and had the nerve to ask me why I was here showing up. I'm showing up because if I don't show up, you can't even take care of yourself. So sometimes, see y'all looking at me real funny. Showing up feels powerless. Watch this. Anytime I go into a place of vulnerability, I also empower the spirit of resistance. I'll say it again. Anytime I go into a place of vulnerability, I empower the spirit of resistance. Third time. Anytime I go into a place of vulnerability, I empower the spirit of resistance. When I feel vulnerable, I don't want to do it. So resistance comes in. Showing up can feel powerless. It's a lie, but it can feel that way. I'm using the word feel on purpose because feelings are fleeting, they're fragile, they're fickle, and they're terrible leaders. Number two, showing up feels painful. Because, watch this, we want to know when this endurance is going to produce. What's that? It's a line in an old school poem, a refrain in the poem says, how long? Not long. For some of us, it's been feeling like it's been too long. When is this endurance going to produce anything? And so showing up feels painful because how long do I have to go through this? I would encourage y'all to stop asking that question and just show up. Stop asking the question of how long. Because when you ask the question of how long, you miss the benefit of the journey. You're so busy waiting on the destination, you missed all the beautiful scenery on the way. And because you ain't got there yet, you haven't learned the lesson of getting there. Number three, these are just my opening points. Showing up seems pointless. Did y'all hear what I said? Sometimes showing up seems pointless, especially when showing up ain't yielding nothing. Why in the world should I keep showing up? Because every time I show up, there's an argument. You don't seem to be changing. It don't seem to be benefiting. This ain't helping nothing. So I'm sick of it. Over it. Over all of it. I ain't showing up no more. God is like, hold on now. Huh? Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Because here it is. What's going to happen is the very moment you decide not to show up is the moment God shows up. And then you convince yourself, well, I don't want him because, you know, by now I'm over it and I don't need it. Okay. Okay. So I want to encourage you on Pentecost Sunday. As a matter of fact, El Orlando, I want to challenge us to keep showing up. Because the verse on the screen says this. Here's our incentive. This is the incentive for showing up. Bishop Desmond and Daphne, I don't give help to angels. Wait a minute. I look at all this stuff that these angels do. All of these great things that angels accomplished. And Jesus said, I didn't even help them. Y'all missed it. You read the book of Revelations and Jesus sits down while Michael whoops Satan. And Jesus says, I didn't even help. He said, but I'll help you. Wait. Hold on. So you mean to tell me that Michael whooped Satan without help and I got help? Right? You mean to tell me that two angels who we don't even know their name showed up to fool with crazy Lot, took a whole city, blinded everybody, and they don't even know what happened, pushed a whole group of men away from the door, and you didn't help them do it. But I got help. You mean to tell me that angels travel and sit around the throne and fly with multiple wings and you don't help them? And I got help. Huh. Seems like that would be incentive enough. It seemed like that would be enough for me to be like, let me keep showing up. If you're not going to show up for no other reason, watch this, show up for help. Come on. I don't know. Maybe y'all ain't never been in the job center. You ever been in the job center? And the job center is a singular place where people show up to get help. Ain't nothing like being around a bunch of people who need help, especially when it gets desperate. I mean, they willing to stay. They get mad at whoever they need to get mad at, huh? Because they need help. What they need is so strong that they're willing to do whatever it takes to get it. And then here it is, we come to church and the Lord says, lift your hands, but I guess you don't need that much help. We come to church and it's time to apologize, but I guess you don't need that much help. We come to church and God says, just keep showing up and giving me glory, but I guess you don't need that much help. I guess we're not desperate enough to keep doing what God told us to do, because we over it, because we sick of them, because they said this and they said that. But let me tell y'all something about me. I need help. So I'm going to keep showing up, and you can talk about me as much as you want. I'll be crazy. But let me tell you something. If you're going to give help to me, I'm showing up. Why won't he hit them back? I need help. See? Why won't he retaliate? Because I need help. And some of us in here, you need help. Is there anybody in this place that can admit I need help? So why in the world would you forfeit your help? I'm not forfeiting my help. Huh? It's a woman the other day. She had a major position with Nike and Facebook. I ain't gonna put her name out there. She about to go to prison. Major position with Nike and Facebook and doing well. And she decided to take about $5 billion. I think it was $5 billion. It might be million. Either one of them numbers, you're going to prison. Million, billion, that level. Either one of them numbers is a problem. Because at the end of the day, she decided to try to take a shortcut instead of doing what was necessary to get whatever she needed. Y'all, are y'all in here? See, why in the world would you forfeit help by being messy? Thank you. Why in the world would you forfeit help? Yeah, Bishop doesn't want to. You help me with that. You know, because she'll tell me in a minute, that's messy. This is messy. It's messy. That's messy, and that's messy, and that's messy. And there comes a time where you got to get mature enough to say, listen, I don't have time for messy. I can't forfeit my help being messy. Y'all. And some of this retaliation y'all planning, that's messy. Come on now. Some of that stuff we saying, that's messy. Come on now. You got to be, he who shall ascend to the hill? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his, some stuff you got to let go. You got to let that thing go. Yes, they did you wrong. Yes, they said it. Yes, they did it. But I can't forfeit my help. I just want somebody to know, trust me, God got it. Anybody need help in here? I wish somebody would be honest, like, I need help for real, like, you know, like that, for real, help, like, now, I don't need no little bit, now, here's where things get interesting, Freeman, here's where things get interesting. I don't give help to angels, but I give help to the descendants of Abraham. Now, that word help does not mean God will do it for you. That's not what the word help means. As a matter of fact, like, we'll come to a verse in a minute if we get there today. If I don't get there, I'll get there Wednesday. But we'll come to a verse in a minute where helper is paraclete. But that's not this word. Because helper is actually a title of the Holy Ghost. Come on, I know where I'm going. Yeah. But that's not the word they used here. He says, I give help. Now, what we often want is we want the Lord to do it for us. Help me. Translation, do it for me. But that's not what this word means. The word used here for help is conceived as taking someone by the hand. Oh, y'all. I don't help angels, but I help the descendants of Abraham. I'll make it personal. I don't help them, but I will help you. But the help I'm going to give you is not me doing it for you. It's me taking you by the hand and showing you. It's come by the hand. See, the help, write this down, the help of the Lord teaches. The help of the Lord teaches. Why? Because he wants us to be able to reproduce victory. Okay. He said, let me take you by the hand and show you how to win. so that the winning is reproducible. Now, wait a minute. Why won't he just continue to help me every time? Don't miss this. We are the visible representation of Christ in the earth. So the Lord teaches so that we can reproduce and then represent. So he's like, let me take you by the hand so you know how the victory happened. Then the next time it happens, you can represent me so that other people go, oh, that's how we win. That's actually testimony. That's actually evangelism. That's actually outreach. When you go and take what God taught you and go teach somebody else, that's actually discipleship. And if you don't believe it, go into all the world, he says, and teach them what I taught you. Go read Matthew 28. Teach them what I taught you. But some of us ain't got taught because you won't let him hold your hand. Mm-hmm. Lord, I need help. He said, take my hand. Lord, I need help on how to handle this finances. He said, take my hand now. Take my hand. And I'm about to show you what you're about to have to get rid of. See? You see that? Lord, I need help with these relationships. Take my hand, and I'm about to teach you how to apologize. Come on, take my hand. I'm going to show you how to listen. Because you know how to talk, but you don't know how to listen. The reason you can't get nowhere is because you talk a lot and listen a little. Hmm? Come on, some of us aren't communicators. You're just arguers. You don't communicate, you just auger. And me and Brother Art, we got a pact. We don't auger. Brother Art, I'm with you, you with me. Me and you, we don't auger. We don't do no auging. Some of you want to argue because you want to get folk back. You want to get them told. Now, come on now, you want to flex your prowess. God is like, take my hand. Let me show you how I handle conflict. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me show you how I handle it. And he never said a mumbling word. You're like, that ain't right. I thought you wanted me to help you. I thought you wanted help. And then what we do is we throw his hand back, like, I got it. He said, all right, if you don't want my hand, you don't want my help. And if you ain't got my help, you ain't got my power. And if you ain't got my power, you on your own. And if you on your own, don't ask me to bail you out. If you don't want my hand, you don't want my help. If you don't want my help, you don't want my power. If you ain't got my power, you on your own. And if you on your own, don't ask me to bail you out, because it's about to be bad. It's about to be bad. It's about to be bad. And so what happens, Lakasha, is some of us turn down help because we don't want to hear it. Huh? Some of us have turned down help over the last 60 days. 60 minutes. Huh? Listen, we gonna get enough not accepting help. Now watch this. I'm about to go one more step further since it's community building. Huh? On Pentecost Sunday, y'all do know in Pentecost, they were all together. Yeah, so let's do a little community building. If you can't accept help from other members of the body, what makes you think you can accept help from the Lord? If you can't accept help from the people who love you, you can see. See, they don't want to talk to me today, Bishop Desmond Juanita. Huh? If you can't accept help from us, the Lord is like, wait a minute, they are my representatives. They were created for good works, and I'm trying to let them work for you, but you got the case of I got it. Come on now. Many of us in this room got a bad case of the I got it, and you're passing it on to your children. Because the I got it are contagious. You're passing it on to your children. And now, when they're out there and they done got into some foolishness, and you find out after the foolishness manifests, then you want to turn around and beat them and say, why didn't you tell me before it started? Because I got the I got it from you, Mom. I got the I got it from you, Dad. I got that case of the I got it from you. No, seriously. Some of us need help. Somebody just say, I need help. And then you got to say, I'm not going to turn it down. So I'm not going to turn that down. Yeah, we got to accept the help. You got to accept the help. There are people who want to help you. You struggling because you feel like it. Oh, y'all didn't like that? You struggling because you feel like it. Because there's some people who want to help you. And let me tell you, I'm a witness. I'm going to say it out here. I'm a witness. If you don't accept help for so long, God will put you in a position where you got to. Trust and believe. Don't get God on that. Oh, okay. God like, oh okay. Huh? See, I remember when I was doing too much. And body kept telling me, you're doing too much. You're doing too much. God has an amazing way of putting you on your back. Uh-huh, put you on your back. So you can't turn down the help of the Lord, well, you shouldn't. But we allow our faults, failures, fatigues, frustrations, huh? To render us powerless. Wait a minute. I said we allow our faults, our failures, our fatigues, and our frustrations to render us powerless when the blood has rendered him powerless. Somebody say, I won't turn it down. Let me give you two quick realities. One, y'all learning something today? One, you turn down help when you refuse the helper's presence. Oh, I want your help. I want your help. And the Lord's like, well, every time I show up, you don't want me. You turn down help when you refuse the helper's presence. See, we're in a day and age where some of us don't really want the abiding presence of God. We just want the benefits of God. And so if every time the Lord shows up, every time the Lord's trying to show himself strong, every time the Lord is trying to make his presence known, you're like, it don't take all of that. Let's just get to the blessing part. He's like, oh, you don't want help. Because sometimes God just wants you to sit with him for a while. Sit down and don't say nothing. Huh? But what happens is you get so busy that you're not really spending time with God. You're treating God like a drive-by. Like, let me get this hit and let me keep moving. Huh? You want to get high off of presence, but don't want to abide in it. Amen. So we treat God like a narcotic. Running low. Let me get a hit. Huh? We treat God, he's an escape. He's the one that numbs you. He's the one that makes you feel better in the moment, but you don't want to stay there. You want your own will until your will gets you in trouble. So you turn down help when you refuse the helper's presence. But here's the second, a gentle point. It's gentle. You turn down help when you refuse the helper's requirements. See, there's standards in God, y'all. I don't care what you say, there's standards in God. You don't get to just live however you want to. You don't get to live however you want, do whatever you want, say, come on now, what did Paul say? Don't you use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. There's a standard in God. I hear it all the time. Why do I always have to be the bigger person? Let's just chew on that for a minute. Why can't somebody else? Are you saved? No, really. Been there, done that. Why do I always have to be the one? Why don't you always have to be the one? And furthermore, let's peel that onion back just a little bit further before I go forward. If you're not always the one, are you admitting that there are times where God's not with you? Because if God is always the bigger person, and sometimes you don't want to be, are you saying that in the moment you would like to get rid of his presence because you want to get them back? If he abide in me and my word abides in you, then you get to ask whatever you want. But what happens is there are times where we want the abiding to be circumstantial. And so the Lord is like, come on, the reason you always got to be bigger is because I'm always bigger. And if you want to be smaller, then you have to get rid of the bigger one. So if you want to be with me, you got to always be bigger. You always got to be bigger than the petty. You always got to be bigger than the messy. You always got to be bigger than the clap back. You always got to be bigger than the get back. Come on now. Let not this Pentecost Sunday be a day where you walk away and say, we danced good but didn't transform. No, I want y'all to take the Lord by the hand today and say, listen here. I walked out with my hand in the helper's hand. And wherever you lead me. Come on now. Now, just a second ago, y'all was like, ooh, I need help. Oh, yeah. You was ready to jerk and snatch 5 seconds ago. I knew, come on, y'all was ready to go. Y'all gonna jerk and snatch, huh? Y'all was gonna get a Pentecost jerk and a Pentecost snatch. But now that I'm telling you, wait a minute, help means, I'm sorry. Help means I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that, huh? Come on now. One of the best sayings that I've seen recently is you cussed me out in English, now you want to apologize in tongues. Come on. Run me them English words. Run me them English words. Nah. Don't come up to me. Don't come up to me jerking and snatching, speaking in the Holy Ghost now. No. Run me that English. I want to hear all your syllables. Huh? Now you want to grab hands and let's pray. No! No, you didn't want to pray when you was calling me out my name. Somebody say, I need help. Now, Bishop, hold on. I know it sounds real good, sounds real ethereal, but Bishop, there's just sometimes where, you know, I just can't. Okay, go to John chapter 14. Just go to John chapter 14. Now this is Jesus. This is what Jesus said. He said, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Verse 17. That's the spirit of truth now. Whom the world can't receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, wait a minute. He says, I can't turn this help down because the help I'm going to give you is the spirit of truth. If you refuse help, you accept a lie. Ooh, that's good to me. He's the spirit of truth. So if I don't want the spirit of truth, I want the progenitor of lies. But I purposely read verse 16 quicker because we overlook it, Elder Chantrice. There's a word in verse 16. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to read one passage, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to let y'all sit with it and make sure y'all want to have y'all hand in his hand. Now, I need y'all to see something. Go back to verse 16. I will. Who's I? Okay. I will ask the Father, capital F, personal pronoun. So he's relating to God, right? He, capital H, will give you, what's that next word? That's the word. It doesn't say he'll give you a helper. See, I ask the Father, he'll give you a helper. That's not what he said. He says, I ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper. Wait. The only way I need another, if there was already one. Now, who's talking? Right. This means Jesus is like, I'm the first helper. And I'm going to send you another me. I'm going to send me back because I can only be one place at one time, and I got to die and go back so I can send me who can be everywhere. Because the version of me that you currently see can only be one place at one time, because I'm limited by the flesh suit that I had to put on so that y'all can see how to operate in your image. But now that I get to go back and sit next to myself, I get to come back in another form that can be multiple places all at the same time. And see, I tried to show you how to operate with help when I came in your image, but now that you don't know how to operate with help, I'm going to go back and then come in you so that you can be the help that you operate with. Well, I ain't turning that down. Y'all think I'm going to forfeit another Jesus? Oh, y'all didn't hear me. You think I'm going to forfeit the miracle worker? You think I'm going to forfeit the yoke destroyer? You think I'm going to forfeit the burden bearer? No, 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 no. Y'all can forfeit him if you want to. But I'm going to sing it like the song, where he leads me, I will follow. Y'all hear me? Wherever he put my hand at, that's where I'm going to go. He says, I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to give you another helper. I'll take that. He'll be with you for how long? Not temporarily. Not when the altar's full. Huh? Not when the organ play. See, I don't know. This stuff we call in the Holy Ghost. It might be a ghost, but it ain't holy. Some of this stuff we call in the Holy Ghost, it come on, it fall off. It don't seem to be bothered when you're drunk. It don't seem to be bothered when you're high. It don't seem to be bothered when you're in somebody else's bed. I don't know that version. It don't seem to be bothered when you steal. It don't seem to be bothered when you lie. It don't seem to be bothered when you butcher the text of God. Come on, now, how you say you full of the Holy Ghost and you act like that? Come on, you know a tree by its fruit. And you keep telling me that you're an apple, but I keep seeing the fruit of just persimmons. I don't know what this is. Persimmon is a real fruit. It really is. Look at verse 17. It's the spirit of truth. Y'all, this is why we often forfeit. Because if the spirit of truth is in you, what can't be? Lies. Lord, I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. He's like, all right. Some people going to have to move out. Oh, you want truth to enter? Well, that got to go, and that got to go, and she got to go, and he got to go, and that habit got to go, huh? Whom the world can't receive. The world can't receive it because it does not see him. Now I'm going to say something. I'm going to go to my last text. The world can't receive him. The world can't receive him. The world can't receive him. The world can't receive. Y'all see this? People who come and say, man, I really want to be full, but it seemed to not be working. She caught it. I really want to be full of the Holy Ghost, but it seemed to not be working. Maybe it's because the world can't receive it. You want a gift that don't fit in carnal packages. So how do I get it? Okay, Bishop, how do I get it? Lord. Because see, we done made this thing too hard. You got all these formulas, and you got to turn around four times, and you know, you got to high five 12 neighbors, and you got to, you know, say to 18 people, and you got to backflip down the center aisle. We done made it too hard. Watch this. I'm going to show you. Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 3. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. Teach us. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's descendants. Wait. Heirs according to... Wait. If I belong to Christ... Jesus. Put Hebrews. Put the Hebrew back up on there. There. He don't give help to angels. He gives help to the descendant of Abraham. Put the Galatian up there. Oh, she with me. If you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's descendant and heirs. Right. If you belong to Christ, you don't get to be. Watch it. Look, this key word, then. Right. Lord, I'm yours. And by being yours, then I'm a descendant. I'm qualified for help. Don't show up to the job center without your paperwork. You got to prove that your qualifications have been met. Huh? Don't come up to another altar line to get full of the Holy Ghost and you don't belong to Christ. Because then, if you belong to Christ, then. Today's a good day to get your life right with Christ. Somebody need help in here? He'll give help to the descendants. And if you belong to Christ, you are that. I'm going to pray for you today on this Pentecost Sunday. And my prayer, Lord, have mercy. My prayer is that you don't stop snatching your hand away from Dad. See, some of y'all got little ones right now, and you're trying to hold their hand because you know they in danger. Yes. And they be steady trying to pull away. Yes. Oh, y'all not in this room. You ever seen one of them little tights? They be way down here, and they trying to pull away because they excited by what they see. Yes. And you're the parent, and you like, no, stay close to mommy, stay close to daddy. And they busy trying to pull away because they see something that look good to their eye. And they trying to run away and you holding their hand and you keep squeezing tighter and tighter and tighter and now they're squirming. They're not squirming because you're trying to hurt them. They're squirming because, watch this, the pain they feel is because they don't want to relax in your presence. Pain would stop if they stopped tugging. You're sitting there and you're like, why does it hurt so bad? And God is like, because I'm holding on to your hand tightly because you keep trying to pull away. You think it's hurting. You're hurting yourself by not relaxing. If you would just relax, and just stay and go where I send you to go, all the pain would go away. If you just walk next to Dad, if you just walk next to Mom, you wouldn't have this pain. The reason you feel pain is because he got a vice grip on your hand because he loves you. He could let you run off, but if you run off in this crowd, fool, you're going to be lost. Now we're going to have to shut the whole park down because you didn't have the good sense to know you can't run off in the middle of the crowd at Disney World. Stay next to me. And you sitting up there squirming when I'm here to bless you. You squirming when I'm here to give you everything you need. You're squirming in a good place because you want to go to where you want to go when you want to go. Relax. You better just get a load of your hand. Where are we going? We riding the teacups? Teacups. We done riding the teacups? We going to eat? Going to eat. We done eating? We want to go see the castle? Go see the castle. You want to run off? Go see the Buzz Lightyear dolls. Huh? Come on now, I can make it just as personal as you. You want to run off and get in that inbox. You want to run off and call who you think your help is. You better just be like, where are we going? We not going nowhere? We not retaliating? We ain't saying nothing? I don't need you to squeeze my hand. That hurts. Why you in such peace? Because I only stay with the Father. I've learned. Stand to your feet in this place. Stand to your feet. I want to pray. I know some of y'all just got challenged. Y'all be all right. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Lord, I honor you. Lord, there are some of us who've been pulling away from your hand. We repent. Some of us have been trying to run away from your presence. We repent. God, we're going to stay right where you are. Keep our hand in your hand. That we, God, would stay connected to you. Lord, if there's anybody that doesn't know you in this place, give them the strength to know you. That they may come to know you, God, as the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Clap your hands. Give God honor.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.